This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Good morning. Danny's here. Hi, Danny. How are we?
Good to see you.
Danny O'Neill in with me and Brock today, at least for the next half hour.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, you're so different in the morning. Like, you notice that morning Danny is completely different from afternoon Danny. Afternoon Danny's buttoned up. He's got the tie. Yes. Morning Danny's casual. He's got a t-shirt on. It's like a completely different guy.
Morning Danny walks his dog down here.
Right.
Out of the goodness of his heart, does a segment with the morning news guys.
It's not out of the goodness of my heart.
No, mostly
they
out of the goodness. Yeah, I know they do, but it's still.
It's still out of the goodness of
Salk,
their heart.
Salk and I have done that segment and did it before you. And even though I think we were still paid, there was some goodness out of your heart.
I never got paid.
To do that.
I never got a dime for that.
How did the Seahawks look at rehearsal this week?
They aren't getting paid.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, nothing.
Howdy doesn't get paid when he fills in.
No. We don't even pay Howdy for his job here. Why? Howdy's been working here for 3 years. We've never even paid him a salary for it.
We fixed the glitch.
Yeah, we just put a little food outside in a dish inside the dumpster. Howdy goes in, we feed him, and that's all he gets.
I didn't realize that any of you did this for money. This is a little surprising.
Yeah. Not cool what you just said, Saul.
Why?
What? Feeding Howdy outside the dumpster. I've been part of the Howdy dumpster diving things, and we should move past.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's married, kids. General. He's got a lot of stuff.
Makes it, he's proud of it. He's not even embarrassed by it.
He's kind of playing along with it because he likes that. We shouldn't.
Are you embarrassed by it or are you proud of it?
Look, I find value in things and everyone has a different interpretation.
I do still laugh every time I see a plate of cookies. Because I wonder, did that come from a dumpster somewhere?
Yes.
These are trash cookies.
Oh, that's so gross. All right, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Danny's in. We'll try to be serious and actually we're going to talk some football if we have some time at the end. Maybe a few minutes of baseball as well. The question we kind of wanted to ask is this. We were spending some time thinking about all of these emerging Mariners, right? Whether it's Wade LeBlanc or Marco Gonzalez or anybody else who sort of emerged onto the scene this year, which has been, you know, even Edwin Diaz, who went from being a good player to a star player this year. So anybody who took a significant jump forward in their career. Are there Seahawks who we're going to see do that this year? Because I think if there aren't, this team's bad.
Yeah. Can I throw in a double barrel to that?
And I'm not saying there aren't. So I'm not saying this team's going to be bad. But if there aren't guys that take that leap this year and get significantly better, you got a major problem because you've allowed 6 Pro Bowlers to walk out the door. The hope is that you're replacing them internally here, right?
Yep,
absolutely. Like, so you need to have that next generation of stars emerge. And if you're not, you're truly rebuilding, and you're in this part of collecting talent in the rebuilding process. You're where they were in 2010 and 2011, which is we got to find parts. We've got to find guys that can chip in. I do think there are emerging players. I don't know who they are. I think you can come up with a cast of characters of potential guys that will step out. The guys that would be on that list for me, Nick Vinette, Amara Darbo, Delano Hill, Tedrick Thompson, Trey Flowers is one of the rookies that I would put in there where I think that you've seen enough in the way that that position lays out. I'd like to see if he's someone that can step in. They've had corners who have made immediate impacts upon arrival. Is he a guy that can do that?
Is your confidence eroded? Because you go back.
Before you get there, can we ask about some other name? I'm just curious whether you can throw some other names onto that list. Those are guys who would come essentially from obscurity to being relevant pieces. Are there other guys that can go from being pieces
to
being great pieces? So, I mean, names like Frank Clark or Nas Jones.
Jermaine Ifedi.
I mean, he might be sort of a step below that because I don't know whether he's even really been a piece so far this year.
Jaron Reed.
That's the name I keep coming back to. Like, why isn't Jaron Reed the player that we were promised when he first got here?
Well, that's more a position. Like, is Jaron Reed going to be able to? Jaron Reed's a defensive tackle. And a step forward for a defensive lineman is sacks. And that's never going to be Nas Jones or Jaron Reed's. You're not going to get interior pressure from those guys. Not in the way that you will from a defensive end. Like
understood. But can I get it the way I got it from Brandon Mebane early in his career?
Maybe.
But I mean, like, that's not that's still a reasonable thing that a person at that position can be.
Sure.
We saw Brandon Mebane do that.
No, not really.
Really?
If you look back at his totals, he was never a disruptive pass rusher.
Ooh, I think five sacks was the most he ever got.
Yeah,
I saw whether he got the sacks or not. I saw Brandon Mebane as an integral part of them rushing the passer. No,
I don't think Brandon Mebane was ever a superstar. I don't think he was ever someone that was you would identify as one of their four best players on defense when
Correct.
They were good.
Correct.
And it the ceiling on that, if that's the expectation, yes, Jaren Reed and Naz Jones can absolutely be that. Between the two, I would say that Naz Jones has the better shot at really taking a step forward. He's a bigger man, and he's also someone who has shown a little bit more in terms of pursuit. I think Jaren Reed's a really good player. I think Jaren Reed's going to be a starter, and you're never going to bat an eye about that, but I don't see him taking that step forward as far as becoming sort of that true emerging Pro Bowl consideration.
You know, I listen to you guys an awful lot. Danny, here from Danny, Dave, and Moore in the afternoons, and I listen to you guys a lot, and I love it. I love the banter between you and Jim and Dave and the back and forth with all of you. And you guys, in some of these conversations, have talked about the early years. And this is going back to 2010 and 2011. You just referenced that again, of going back to those days. Remember the acquisition and these young guys that have emerged? Has your confidence eroded over the last 2, 3, 4 years with some of these draft classes that have not seen players necessarily emerge?
Yeah.
Because in 2010, 2011, we didn't know, right? You didn't know, and they drafted these guys, and it was all new to all of us with Pete and John, and how is this going to work, and how are they going to identify talent, and will these guys work? And man, boom, boom, home run, grand slam, triple, double. Well, the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, it feels like, gosh, where are those guys?
The most recent Pro Bowler that they've drafted is Tyler Lockett.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's
he's never been a Pro Bowler as a wide receiver.
It's
he's
been
a Pro Bowler as a kick returner.
So which side
and that part of his game kind of went away a little bit.
I guess
last
which
year.
Side do you fall on? Because I think Dave will fall on the side, and I want to speak for him, but in listening enough, he would say they've been blocked. There's just not been the ample opportunities. In 2010, 2011, you can go back to that, and why many of those guys emerge. There was a lot of opportunity for them to grow and develop. So has it been a matter of, I guess this is the old Mariner question back in the day with a lot of their young players. Is it development or is it talent? Right? With Montero and Ackley and Smoke, are they just not talented or can you just not develop them? For these guys, recent vintage, is it talent or is just the development been stunted and blocked by so many others?
The answer's going to be a bit of both, but I think that we've underrated the unlikeliness, the sheer improbability of how many stars they drafted from 2010 to 2013. And I think we all would have said, hey, it's an unreasonable expectation to think that they're going to replicate it. My economist friend, Ben Baldwin, who writes for The Athletic.
Who we had on, right?
Yeah, he's one of the people that will show you there's not a lot of evidence out there for a specific front office being better at finding stars than any other front office. Basically saying that it's not luck, but luck plays a lot more to do with draft than we will ever give it credit for. I don't fully believe that. I don't, but it does.
But there's a lot of numbers to back it up.
But it does
and look
cast
at New England,
some doubt.
New England's draft and New Orleans draft through the years and any of these franchises draft and even the stable organizations, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Seattle, New England, if it had continuity, even those numbers-wise would speak to Ben's argument.
That the fact that Seattle was due for a dry spell.
Correct.
Now, I think they're at their best when they are drafting guys and playing them young. I think that their system as a draft and develop approach works best when they're drafting guys and playing them young. And I guess I would say this, that I think Seattle is better. Their wheelhouse is when they have a blank slate to work with and they're trying to amass talent and not when they're trying to complement an existing contender.
Appease veteran guys?
Yeah, think about what we've seen from them. What have the Seahawks, their worst move under Pete Carroll and John Schneider has been Percy Harvin. Like, that's been the one that backfired the most.
I would disagree with that.
The other one would probably be Jimmy Graham.
That's what I would say.
And Jimmy Graham was a productive player. He's the best receiving tight end there. But when they've gone off course, it's been because they've tried to complement or change the direction of an existing contender that they had. Something to put them over the top, something to be able to do it. And do the draft classes kind of fall in that? I don't think Kristen Michael is necessarily, hey, they were trying to make a difference. But they went into that draft with the idea of, we want to get someone behind Marshawn because we don't know how long we can count on Marshawn for. And I think that they've been, where their misses have come, is not when they've tried to force a pick, but when they've tried to plan long-term, how do we augment the existing
really good
contender
point.
That we have?
And this is why we said we needed to bring some intelligence into the show
Very
today.
True.
Because essentially, Brock and I have gone the other
We're
way.
We're just dry.
Well, you guys...
We're just nose breathers, mouth breathers.
No, that's,
We're just dry.
What is the deal with this? Danny, can we take a moment away from the football to play this? So this was your show yesterday. What is going on your show? What are you guys doing?
First of all, it's not his show. It's their show.
Fair point.
Okay? Have you never listened to it?
I have.
Like, this is pretty standard stuff, really.
This was yesterday on Danny, Dave, and More.
Who's the nose breather?
Somebody was.
Did you hear him?
I know. I don't like to rip those people, though, because it's...
Because you do it.
Well, I think you do it, too.
No.
Yeah, I heard it's you. No, there have been times when I've heard that noise, and I'm thinking, okay, Jim, don't breathe for a minute just to see if it's you or not. Yeah. And so I don't breathe. And then I'm going, it's Wyman.
No.
It is. I don't think it's Danny. It's all the people who do it.
Your nose whistles. Your nose whistles because of the hair.
Jim, I have it on good accounting with our engineering department here that you are a nose whistler.
Well, screw all of you. Okay.
What is going on over there? Well, Jim and Dave are fighting over nose whistling.
When we're out at Seahawks, there are two things that happen during an interview. One is that you can definitely hear a nose breather, and at times it whistles. The other thing is you can hear Jim lick his lips.
Ugh. Stop. Please don't do that. My dog does that, and it drives me crazy.
So those two things will happen. So there's this subtext going on. Jim's really funny about, like, Jim's funny about everything. So on the text line, sometimes somebody was like, hey, whichever one of you is breathing through your nose, stop. And Jim responds to him, I'll just stop breathing. Yeah. That will help the show on a number of levels.
Do we have the other cut where Jim talks? Do we have the other cut, Kyle, that you were talking about from a moment or two later, where Jim is talking about what he's thinking about during the show?
Find something interesting to say.
All right, we'll see. Jim is thinking to himself, find something interesting to say.
He's talking about the three priorities that he's balancing in his head and how difficult his job is talking on the radio. Breathing. Because one of them is don't breathe through your nose.
Right.
The other one is say something interesting.
The poor guy. I didn't realize he had it so rough. Oh, I mean, it's a really challenging job he's got.
It's really funny.
All right. Well, the Groz doesn't care. He should take some advice. Listen to the Groz.
Does the Groz just breathe through his nose?
The Groz is one step below Belichick. Man, I used to interview Belichick, and we'd sit in the room with him. He'd sit just like essentially where you were, and he cared zero. For what he would do into a microphone.
Yeah, he wanted to make it sound worse.
He would sit there and he'd say, like, Bill, what is that? Now, he has a tick also, because I used to cut up a lot of his sound, and every time he would, before he speaks, he goes, before almost every sentence he makes, it's like a weird smacking thing. You get in front of a microphone.
Brock does the same thing.
It's bizarre.
With my lips?
Oh, you do?
Yeah, every interview we cut, it's Brock's questions start with,
oh, interesting.
Really?
I didn't know that.
It's usually in the middle of the last word that the guest is speaking because you like to jump on the question.
Oh, interesting.
It's like Damon licking his lips before he throws a football.
True. Thumb.
Licking his thumb.
The greatest germaphobe ever.
How does he lick his thumb?
How stupid is that? His hands are in the... Yeah, you know where his hands are, and then he licks his thumb every play. What are you doing?
You know who else licked his hands was Hasselbeck.
Oh, yeah.
Which became a problem in the game where Robbie Tobeck was incontinent.
Yeah, I don't blame. Yeah, that's a gross situation. I got to lick my fingers before turning a page, which drives me nuts every night when I'm reading to the kids.
Can we go back to his brilliant point he made about this team being...
I've already forgotten about
this team being at its best, not when it's complimenting, mm-hmm. but actually when the canvas is bare. So are you buying? Do you find yourself in listening to a lot of the national skeptics right now? Looking at the numbers of five Pro Bowlers, maybe six of Earl is a part of it, and just not having some of the same maybe trepidation, some of the same fear that, this is going to be a team that's going to have a hard time being 500.
I think it's more likely that they win 11 games than they lose 11 games. If you ask me their most likely range of victories, I would pick 9 to 10, followed by 7 to 8. Followed by 11 or more.
And that confidence comes from where?
My belief that they were not more talented in 2011. Like when they got to this point in 2011 and they were coming in there, you had Earl, who was a promising rookie, paired with Cam Chancellor, who had never really played before.
Oh, 2011, that's a Tavares Jackson year?
Correct. Okay. And you had no quarterback.
Right.
You had Marcus Trufant was starting at cornerback that year.
Yeah.
Like the number of stars you had, Max Unger had kind of taken a step forward. You felt, no, that's not even true, because Max was hurt the year before, and Russell Okung had been hurt a couple of times.
I think Mebane may have been your only player in the top 100. Speaking of the polls, I don't even think he was.
And there's no way. There's no way. You knew Earl was a stud. Like, you knew Earl was going to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that his rookie year, he made some mistakes and that sort of thing. They're more talented right now, plus they've got a quarterback. I mean, Bobby Wagner is a really good linebacker, and KJ Wright is. And who are you going to replace your six Pro Bowlers?
Is your division and your conference more talented too, though?
Yeah, that's
definitely
true.
I think that's part
true.
Of the worry is at that time, San Francisco was the only other team in your division in 2011. Nobody else was good. And they weren't even that good, but they seemed to find ways to beat you. I mean, LA is now a pretty good team. San Francisco
really
is an
team.
Improved team.
I'm not buying San Francisco.
I'm not saying, all right, look, maybe they're going to be great. Maybe they're going to
be. At least they have a quarterback.
But they're improved and they have potentially a franchise quarterback, which they didn't have before. And Arizona just seems to find ways to give you a problem, whether they're good or not. And so all of a sudden, your division becomes kind of, you're going to play Green Bay again. You got a tough schedule this year.
Yes, you do.
So, I mean, I think that's sort of where some of that trepidation comes from.
Where this trepidation comes from, and I'm not saying it's wrong.
Right.
I just think that we get caught up. The most overrated players in the NFL are older defensive players.
Mm.
Year in and year out, guys that have made the Pro Bowl and are household names. Like, the most overrated guys in the NFL are older defensive players. That's how it is.
I agree with that.
Are they better for losing all of those guys? I don't think they're as much worse as people think.
Well, I'll tell you what. You have to believe that in order to believe this team can be pretty good this year. You have to believe in a theory, and I've said this to Brock before, that generally once a player becomes a household name in the NFL, they've already been better than they're going to
especially
be.
Especially on defense.
Yeah, that they've already been better than they're likely going to be in the future, or at least that day is coming very soon. They're getting close to that cliff. And, you know, They were good last year, but they weren't great. I mean, we watched them. We saw some of them, especially defensively. Great teams don't give up third and 11 to Jacksonville on the ground. Great teams don't allow the Rams to do to them what they did, running the ball straight up the gut. I mean,
take the ball away. They didn't get off the field on third down. They were middle of the pack in some of the yardage and rushing yardage.
Put all those things together. Yep. Those aren't things that great teams did.
That was an average defense at best.
Yeah. And
that was even before the injuries.
And I guess when I think about your points together, I agree with essentially every single thing you've said since you've come in here, other than the Percy Harvin versus Jimmy Graham thing. And the reason why is I think the Jimmy Graham speaks to your point. Even more so, because Jimmy Graham took them away from their mentality, from their identity, from what they wanted to do. Percy didn't work, clearly, and his problems off the field were an issue, and Darrell Bevell would get distracted with him and all the other things. But they could have found, if he had been the right personality, they could have made that work, I think, eventually. Jimmy Graham specifically played a position that in their offense and in their stated philosophy requires physicality, and he wanted to play it like a wide receiver. You can't do that. That's just it's a complete departure from what, and I didn't say it at the time, and I didn't know it. And this is all revisionist history. Trust me, I'm no smarter than the average bear. I'm dumber, but looking at it now, I think it's very clear that that was a major problem for them.
And I think looking at it now, you have to. I will double down on your point earlier. The only way this team gets to 9 wins or 10 wins, and I think that's the highest of high water marks this year, is if some of these young players do what the Mariners' young players have done. That the reason the Mariners are where they are is not because Felix and Kyle and even Nelly are having career years. In fact, statistically speaking, they are having their worst seasons. You know, Nelly's been beat up a little bit and everything else. There's worse seasons in Seattle.
Yeah, but it's not them. They're not the ones carrying this group.
No.
It's the new core.
It's Marco. It is Wade LeBlanc.
Yeah.
It is Diaz. It is young players that have truly emerged. Marco is shockingly as anybody. As shockingly as anybody that you look at and go, there's just no chance. 10 wins and doing what he's doing.
I'm surprised every time, and yet he does it.
And he does it.
So, Danny, who's going to get it done for the Seahawks?
So, who are those?
You gave us some options.
Yeah, give me two or three guys that have to really just explode and, I think, emerge.
And we're going to hold you to this forever.
Oh, Danny, for sure. This is being recorded.
Delano Hill is the one that's got to.
He has to.
Delano's going to play. I mean, that's one way or the other, whether Earl's here or whether Earl's not, you're going to see Delano on the field.
Can he be that guy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like anybody that tells you yes or no on
that.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you to say they are going to be. I want the two or three names.
I want Danny held to the fire.
No, because that's anybody who tells you that, and anybody that says, well, if Tedrick Thompson was any good, he would have already been on the field. No, man, you've got a couple games in preseason to judge these guys on most of them. Amara Darbo is the one I hope for the most. I like his story. I think that he's got the raw ability to do it. There's nothing that he's done in practice so far that makes you think that that's going to happen.
Nope.
But he's there and on that list. I think Frank Clark, and that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't extend Frank Clark, that I want him as hungry and as disruptive as possible. Because if there's one guy that you would say that you bet as most likely to get to the Pro Bowl, I think it would be him. And I think that he would be helped by chasing it a little bit more and absolutely going after it. The other guy's Shaquille Griffin. I don't know if Shaquille can take the ball away. That's the one thing we have yet to see from him. Can he make plays on the ball? And all of those guys, it's belief and bet on the future and what you think that they're going to do. Because look, Nick Vanette, I think could be a solid player. But have you seen anything? He's also been behind two really good frontline guys. And at this point, any sort of vouching that you do is based on faith
But Will Disley's the one I have a lot more faith in just because I think he plays the position they actually need at tight end. Doesn't mean he's going to get it day one, but that's the guy that I feel like needs to be.
Uncle Will.
Yeah.
How about these comps?
Billy Bozeman.
Thank you.
How about these comps? If Fetty would be like Marco.
No, I'm out. I can't if do these it, comps.
No. If Fetty becomes a Pro Bowl caliber, Marco right now is a all-star caliber. What he did in the first half of a season, he doesn't have the complete resume.
And I'll bet against that one.
Okay, but would it be as shocking if Fetty exploded on the scene and became a Pro Bowl caliber player as Marco Gonzalez this year, becoming what he's become? It'd be equally as shocking.
Yes.
No?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Jermaine Fetty's a first-round pick who's got every
Marco
physical tool.
Marco was a first-round pick.
Yes, but
tool.
He's also throwing at a time when velocity is everything that a pitcher's measured by. He's got a pretty good strikeout rate for how hard he throws. But what you
well, I thought you were talking about a I turned to I thought you were talking about a Fetty. A Fetty's got a fantastic strikeout rate of times where he completely whiffs on guys he should be blocking.
How about
there's no chance if okay. I will bet against that every time. There's a chance.
Okay.
A Fetty does not become Marco Gonzalez.
Okay. Can Chris Carson or Rashad Penny do what Mitch Haniger's done? Can Chris Carson probably in particular, because he's got his feet wet, because he's got five tools, because he's tremendously gifted physically, can he do it and put together a season like Mitch Haniger has done and had huge success? Is that a reach as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to run.
I think that's less of a reach, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think that one could happen. Why not? Those guys could turn into a home run hitter, drive in runs. Sure.
No, man, here's the thing. With a Fetty, like, Fetty's got the tools, and he's had a change in coaching, and I think there's a question about how he was developed under Tom Cable and what he was told to do. Uh-huh. And I go back to Howard Mudd, who's a pretty well-established and long-term veteran here, believing that, hey, that guy's got the stuff to be an above-average tackle in this league. So I would be less surprised. Running back, I think the running back relies on so much more. And with Penny and Carson, both of them, you're going to have some questions about who ends up getting the most carries. I think you could go through an entire season where those two guys are getting equal carries.
Could they together, you know, like a platoon situation? I mean, could they together be Mitch Haniger?
Don't talk to platoons about Lloyd McClendon.
Shaquille.
Don't ask him about that.
When we're at the VMAC, I sit there and go, okay, yeah, don't whistle through your nose. Don't breathe hard. You know, say something that's interesting. You know, all these things go through my head. And
say something interesting.
Yeah, I know.
That's the toughest one, right?
And I go 0-3 on all that.
Aw, poor Jim. Such a rough life. Danny, do you have to leave? Can you stick around? Can you talk some baseball with us?
Sure.
All right, let's do a few minutes of baseball conversation with Danny also, because I'm curious where you are on this. I don't think you and I have talked about it. Kyle and I are fighting with Brock and Lydia and Howdy. So Kyle and I have
major
one position,
beats.
And Kyle and Lydia and Howdy are on another, so much so that I cursed at them on text last night.
The worst kind of cursing.
I'd love to bring you into this conversation next here on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Oh, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Danny O'Neill is in. We always have fun. This is good. I like when Danny comes in. We get
smart.
Just kind of hang out.
He's a smart guy.
Especially on a Friday. You guys are going to get to take Danny's place coming up here in a half hour. Not on Danny Dave and More, where you can hear Danny every day at 3 o'clock, but just, by open phone lines at 9 o'clock. That's what we do. Hey,
stop
quit
nose breathing
over there. That's
off.
Enough. We've heard
thinking
enough
about
of that.
Something smart you're going to say.
We spent some good time talking some Seahawks, but Brock and I have been fighting. I'm not going to lie, Danny. It's been a little tense in here today. Over some comments that Brock made earlier in the week that I think were dumb. I think they very specifically tempted fate. That's why they were so silly. Lydia and Howdy jumped right on his back, as silly as it could be. And thankfully, Kyle was there to just at least support me. Who are you rooting for, Oakland or Houston this week?
This is the easiest question that's been asked all week. Is there really dispute about this in the room?
Major dispute.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
If you weren't rooting for the A's, I'm not sure what you were thinking.
What?
That's correct.
You're just trying to mess with me.
Yes.
No.
You're just messing with me.
100%. 100%.
Really?
Yes.
Let's go.
Two different reasons. And I think both of them are sound, which either reason on their own is enough to root for the A's. It's more likely that the Mariners catch the Astros than the A's catch the Mariners. Like, just sheer likelihood of that. It's more likely that the Mariners catch the Astros than the A's catch the Mariners. And then the second part is, has to do with pot, the size of the pot, like what you're chasing.
I thought you said the pot and the kettle.
No.
I thought you meant marijuana.
No. It has to do with the pot I've been taking. That could explain a lot.
That's the only explanation for this, for rooting for the A's.
No, and here's the other thing is that the what you're going for, if you're rooting for the Astros, you're essentially taking the safe play, saying, get me to the postseason by any means necessary.
That's 100% what I'm doing.
And
yes.
The wild card is the playoffs, kind of.
Like I would agree with that. They're a play-in game.
A one-game playoff is the playoffs, kind of. Winning the division is a five-game series.
Right, so first of all, what I was actually rooting for was a split.
There's people in life that want to pass. I just want to pass. I just want to play it safe. I just want to pass. And then there are others that want to play the game.
People who just want the second pick all the time, so they don't have to have the responsibility.
There are people who wanted the A's and Astros to split so that you could do your thing and gain ground on both of them, and unfortunately, they didn't do that.
And many times,
but if I had to choose, it absolutely would have been the Astros winning 3 out of 4.
Don't work in radio.
That would have been the ideal situation. You don't want to worry about the A's. You want the A's to be down and out and buried and forget about themselves and feel bad and lose that edge of confidence that they have right now while you continue to do your thing, and then you go worry about Houston later. You still have half a season to try to catch Houston. You don't want any part of Oakland nipping at your heels the entire time. I don't want any part of that, man. I want the playoffs guaranteed and then have the ability. I want to be up a couple $100 in Vegas and then get to go play with house money.
You know
instead
what?
Of treading water right at even, worrying that there's a decent chance I win, and there's a decent chance that I'm out a couple $100 at the end of this trip, and I got to go home to Heather and explain why I can't buy groceries.
What is that show where they travel the world, like two people are teamed up, the Amazing Race? I will take the Amazing Race. You know, I don't care if it's a Yugo, and it's Howdy, Lydia, me, and Danny. We will roll. And you can have your car with you, Kyle, and Clayton.
Should we stop for gas right now? I don't know when the next gas station's going to go. Yep. We've got half a tank, but I don't know when we're going to come across.
And then you know what we're going to do? Like the tortoise, we're going to cruise right by you when you're stranded by the side of the road.
But also,
calling AAA looking for gas.
But also, look at the numbers. But also, too, let's put it this way. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, using logic and numbers, that sounds like creepy. Maybe burn us at the stake like a witch.
Don't be scared, homie. Don't be scared.
You're so scared.
Seriously, so scared. It's just the A's.
I can't believe you, Danny. I can't believe you.
By the way,
they win every night. Yeah. You mean just the A's.
But this is as hot as they've been, and what, they're 5 games back of you right now?
Correct.
8 games? Do you really think that they're going to catch you? This is as well as the team can play.
Here's what I actually think. Jokes aside, and making fun of each other aside, I think confidence is incredibly important in baseball, and it's really fragile as well. And the Mariners won a lot of the one-run games they won because of their confidence level. They just believed it. You've heard Scott. This is not me. This is Scott Service talking over and over again, saying when a game comes down to the wire, our team believes that it is going to win. They have won a bunch of those games because of great bullpen work and great confidence. Well, guess what the A's are built on right now? A fantastic back of the bullpen with Trinan and Trevino, who are both awesome, and really, really high swagger and confidence level right now. And if the Mariners have now gotten beat up in 4 of the last 6 games, I think it's worth looking to see where their confidence is at. I don't know that it's shot. I'm not saying it is. But the moment that balloon gets pricked, you worry that you've got a problem with confidence. Oakland's may go away too, Danny. Trust me. That's the best argument you guys have. Houston's going to be a good team no matter what.
Correct.
The Astros are, much like the Mariners, you know, there's going to be a little up and down. There's going to be some roller coaster action. And what happens in terms of their confidence is important. You could have shattered their confidence this week, though.
The A's?
The A's could have had their confidence shattered. They go into Houston and gotten beat up. They didn't get beat up going into Cleveland, which I thought they would have. They won 4 out of 6 from the Indians. If they would have at least lost 3 out of 4 to Houston and now have to play a couple of games against San Francisco, this is the meat of the A's schedule. It gets easy again for them after this. This was the gauntlet for the A's, and much like the Mariners went through theirs.
And when it was easier before, how did they do? They're 500 team.
Well, they were a growing
team. They're 24-21 at home. They are not built for their park. They are built to hit home runs. And that's why on the road, they're 9 games over .500. They're going to be having to play in their park. They don't have speed. They don't play defense. And they're not built for their park. I'm sorry, I am not going to be terrified of the Oakland A's.
Here's what I would say.
About being terrified.
To boil it down, if the Mariners are going to get caught by the A's, unless the A's get walled by Houston, if they're going to get caught, they're not going to be long-term in the playoffs. And making a one-game wild card play.
That's not necessarily true,
hold on. Because if they're going to get caught, if they're going to get walked down, despite the advantage that they have, I don't think that there's a long-term play there. And it's much more the incentive of making a five-game series, of winning the division, and having, because everything you just said about the A's yep. and them being fragile, that's Houston right now with their bullpen. Giles is in the minor leagues. You've got the Hector Rondon, who's their closer now. Davinsky gives up the game last night.
You got Peacock and McHugh. I mean, you still got some good pitchers.
You're
there.
Right, but you've got uncertainty in that bullpen for the first time.
Million prospects to go trade for bullpen help.
And all this, so do the A's. I think the best argument for wanting the A's to lose to the Astros was that convince them that next year is their year.
Yeah, let them sell. That so was absolutely
how about asshole. Controlling your own destiny?
Yeah,
too?
I mean, that's right, Lydia.
Like, you have played right, what? You've won every series against Oakland so far this year. Some of your highest scoring games have been against Oakland, scored 7 runs, 10 runs. You still have, what, 13 games or 10 games against
completely
them left?
Completely different Oakland 13 team games? That you saw early in the yep. year than the one sure. that's been playing.
Okay, well, do you
month.
Believe in your team or not? Is your team different?
Do you know, years ago at the Pac-12 media,
you
days,
scored, you had 17 hits in one of those games. Do you really think that your team is not
have they had 17 hits this week?
Do you know that back in the day, Pac-12 media days, this a few years ago, they had Pac-12 media. This is a true story. They had Pac-12 media days down there in L.A. We went to it one year. And then Larry Scott thought it'd be a really good idea to fly the coaches on private planes back to Bristol, Connecticut, all the way across the country. And there were two sets of planes, or there were two planes. There was the fun plane, and then there was the boring plane. There was the plane that all got along, had a great time, and then there was the one that just did not. You know what? I will take Howdy, Lydia, me, and Danny's car in our plane, and we will have a blast.
Cool. So much fun.
And we will count on each other. We'll believe in each other. We'll worry about us, Kyle, not anybody else.
Kyle, if
and
we go you, golfing today, will you Kyle, finally sit in my cart with me instead of Clayton, riding around with negative Howdy
and,
over there?
And they'll worry about all the oh, different yes. things. Oh, I'm going to hit it into the bunker here. I better play yeah. it safe.
And you're going to have a plane Howdy's crash, name. And we're going to arrive safely.
Can I ask yep. a couple questions about the fun plane?
Yeah.
Because now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, of course.
Not many of the coaches are left.
Yeah. Chris Peterson, not on the fun
no,
plane.
No,
Was Peterson even there yet? I'm pretty sure it was Sark time.
Yeah, it was Sark time.
Sark on the fun plane?
Yes.
What do you think?
That's kind of dangerous
Rod.
To make throw things.
Yes, there was
Mike Leach, fun plane?
Yes.
Obviously.
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's Sark, Mike Leach, Rich Rod plane. Yes. Good luck with that one, man.
But we'll go down swinging.
I was like, what was
doing
Snoop's
it our
movie
way?
That he made?
Soul Plane.
Soul Plane. Yeah, exactly. I think that's more what that one was
but also
like.
Too, let's put it
hey,
this way, Mike. Look at the
quickly,
altitude.
Danny,
look at the altitude. This seems not working
leave,
well.
Because we were arguing about this. I was arguing about this yesterday on Twitter. Wouldn't you like to have seen Valbuena drilled in the third or fourth inning of that game, whenever it was when he pinch hit? That guy has been a bat flipping on singles. He's been trying to show you up. The players and the team don't really like him. You're not going to win that game at that point. There's no way you're going to score 5 runs in a game. You haven't done so in forever. And you've got Bradford in the game. So if you lose him because he gets thrown out, so what? Isn't that like the ideal situation to drill Luis Valbuena?
No, because you don't want to give anyone incentive to hit your players with the number of times that's happened.
They get hit anyway. They still get hit every time. What's the difference?
Here's the other thing is I don't believe in hitting a guy because he succeeded against you.
It's not about the succeeding. I don't care about the succeeding. I believe in brushing a guy back as he's been successful. Get off my plate. That's part of the game of baseball. It's because he's flipping his bat and acting like a moron and not after a big home run. I'm all over that. That sounds great. Joey Bats, throw your bat. Do whatever you want. I love that stuff.
Did you hear what happened on the 4th of July?
He's flipping singles? Come
on. Did you hear what happened on the 4th of July? I was in the Diamond Club with my in-laws,
yep.
and Valbuena came up, and I decided to talk to him loudly oh. about the bat flips that he had.
I did that, too.
You yeah, like really
from
loud.
The Diamond Club.
Like,
yeah.
really
he
loud.
He looked at me.
Like, coming, he definitely heard it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then he had an RBI double in
yeah.
his first at-bat.
He did the same thing to me.
And then he had an RBI single after the second one. I'm not sure if he bat flipped after the double, but
I'm
he
sure
definitely bat flipped after the single. And when he came up for the third time, I apologized. And I said, you know how I brought that
Danny.
Up? My
yep.
bad.
No.
My bad. Yep. And then I said, stop driving in runs.
And I would like to take this time to formally apologize.
What? What are you saying?
I deeply apologize.
Are you trying to say apologize?
No, I would never do that. What I am doing is apologizing to all the people who were offended by my statements.
Don't apologize to Luis Valbuena.
I said, my bad.
Drill
my
that
bad.
Guy in the ribs.
Stop driving in runs.
All right, we got to take a break. Danny, thank you. Good to catch you and have you in here, our Seahawks insider. And, of course, he'll be on later today with Danny David Moore at 3 o'clock before the odd 5:40 start for the Mariners today in Colorado. All right, good news, bad news, no news next here on Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
I'm exhausted after having Danny in. Is the week almost over? I can't take this.
Hey, can I ask a text toy a question? And I'm doing it before I answer the question, jerk, an hour before it. I'm heading over to Wenatchee. And you know how much I love Miners in Yakima? Where is the spot in Wenatchee tonight? Like, I'm going to pick something up to eat, bring Haley over there. She's going to play in a little golf tournament tomorrow morning in Wenatchee.
Right, you are? Haley is. Both of you.
That's a good question. I hope Haley is. I think Haley might be. I for sure am. But where's the place I stop today at, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock, grab either an early dinner, late lunch. Where is the stop?
Depends. What was it in Pullman? Highway 2, Cougar Country.
Cougar Country
going
in Pullman.
90, going
it's Miners in Yakima.
You're going through Leavenworth, you're going through Vantage. There's a lot
Cougar Country, the place we went to?
Yes. That's the stop there. What is it in Ellensburg? We stopped in Ellensburg.
That's at the Campus Utotem.
Campus Utotem.
That's good, too.
Which, what? If you're going
that's
90,
where we saw the guy with the chaps.
With nothing underneath him.
No.
Yes. What about in Wenatchee? Where is the stop in Wenatchee?
I'm sure the text will tell you. 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
James Paxton left last night's game in the first inning with tightness in his lower back.
That was bad news. The pitches beforehand were worse news. But there's great news on the back end of it, because if you could pick any calamity for him to walk off that mound with last night, a minor back spasm that they calmed down while there, that's best news.
Yeah, I will say for now, let's wait and see. Like, it's obviously a lot better than hearing UCL or forearm tightness or anything else. You can't call it good news anytime your star pitcher is hurt and it cost him a game last night where he was completely ineffective. But it's a lot better than it could have been. What? And I just want to wait and see. Let's wait and see how he feels today and over the next couple. But the assumption is he should be back after the
All-Star. What world are we living in? I mean, what world are we living in? Where it's nearly getting to the point that I have the most confidence when Marco steps on the mound. I mean, what world are we living in? What kind of role-playing world are we living in where Marco or Wade LeBlanc give me, like, the most, okay, I feel pretty confident about what this start's going to look like.
All right, almost everybody is saying Rusties.
Rusties.
And Cashmere.
Rusties and Cashmere. That's going to be, I'm going to be going now,
Yeah,
route.
That place is glacially slow, but
some
if
easy
you've got
burger,
like an hour to spare, go there.
Rusty's seems to be the number one that I'm seeing.
We just
here.
Got a phone call for a barbecue, Sweetwood Barbecue.
Sweetwood Barbecue?
Applewood Grill, sit-down place, but really good. And the Windmill.
I mean, so the Sweetwood Barbecue going to take care of me if I come through there?
A lot of people saying Arby's.
No, not doing Arby's. Right. Sweetwood options. Or Rusty's? Okay, good to know.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Nelson Cruz won't play in the field in Colorado, but he is available to pinch hit.
That's just a bummer.
It's bad news. I mean, look, it's the right thing to do. Scott Servais is handling this right. You remember last year he went to Colorado, played the field, got hurt, and you don't need any part of Nelson Cruz going down in addition to everybody else. But I might be willing to risk it for a day with the All-Star break coming up. Like, at least one, just to get his bat in there, and maybe they'll do that. Let's see what happens in the first game or two, and if they're able to generate any kind of an offense without him. But Ryan Healy and Kyle Seager, Mitch Haniger, Gene Segura, like, it's on you, boys. Time to step up, man. This is, a bunch of you guys are all-stars. Some of you guys have been so in the past. This is your opportunity to fill in with Nelson Cruz out.
I would agree with all of that. Now, he is in a little bit of what Nelly does. There's times where he hits those stupid beach balls. They look like beach balls. And there's other little stretches, like this little stretch lately, where he's 2 for his last 20 or so. So maybe a good time for he, too, a team that's played a ton of games. Lydia made that point to us, that they played 10 more games before the All-Star break than they did a year ago. The season started earlier. So a little bit of rest for Big Nelly, also not a terrible thing.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Athletics beat the Astros for the second straight day, cutting Houston's lead over the M's to just 3 games. Brock, I'll take your rational response to this.
I'm going to say this is good news. It's kept you within earshot of Houston. I would not want to be heading to Colorado in the All-Star break down 6-7 games to Houston. If Houston would have done what Kyle wanted, and that's sweep the A's and win all 4 of those things, I don't want that. I want a highly competitive environment. Yeah. I want this team to feel good about themselves, to have that target still out in front of them being Houston, how unrealistic it may be. I get it. Houston's run differential, plus 180. Mariners, +5.
I am terrified of the A's.
I understand that's a significant statistical difference between those two teams' first halves.
All right, I am not answering this question. I am not responding to the good news, bad news, no news until Lydia finishes the news story.
Okay.
Please finish.
What's the news story?
The other part of it about now how many games behind the Mariners the A's are. Please finish the news story.
This was what was on your show.
Yeah, please finish the news story. I don't care who wrote it. Finish the news story about...
I wrote this with a more positive, uplifting spin, okay. And Mike would like you to add a dose of negativity.
I would like you to add the reality of how many games behind the A's are.
I am terrified of the A's.
Open news.
Why don't you editorialize the story? Well,
that's not editorial. These
Hold
are
on.
Facts.
Can I hear that again?
There's no editorial here. These are just the facts of the situation.
Let me hear that.
Why are you saying
again?
Them with such anger
that's
then
right.
if they're just facts?
I am terrified of the A's...
Why? Because when someone leaves out facts on purpose, it tends to make people angry. The rest of the story here, as Paul Harvey would say, yeah. is that the A's are now just five games back. And I will say that's bad news.
Dude, you are flirting. You are so flirting with it. She is going to come and attack you.
Hey.
And we will be all behind her. Me and the tech toy and everybody else.
Fine. Feel free to report the whole story instead of only the part that works with your theory.
All right.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Countless millennials are reportedly enraged with the Montgomery Biscuits, who Gross has a hat of,
he
hosting
does?
Millennial That's, Night.
Yeah.
Did you
yeah,
read about this Millennial
smiling,
Night?
It's a biscuit smiling and his tongue is a pat of butter.
It's amazing.
It is awesome. And did I read about it? Yes. Did you send it our way? Awesome.
This
I did. Is their promotion night. And there's going to be a selfie station.
Yes.
Where you can just take
several selfies.
Yes.
Stations.
Yes.
Nap stations where you can just, you know, get in
Are
your
naps
disease.
A millennial thing? I didn't think of
no,
that as a millennial
Nelson
thing.
Cruz.
I think a section where you can ask for something that you haven't earned or deserved.
You get like a participation ribbon just for showing
lots
up.
Of them.
And they said plenty of avocados. What I was confused by that is like, are they also giving the toast? Like,
no.
do you get...
No,
you
got to buy your own
the
toast.
Avocado.
There are
what
some really funny responses
promotion.
To this. Did you see some of these responses in the USA Today article?
Yes.
Coming early August, Boomer Night, where proof of a high school diploma wins you a high-paying job and arts and crafts tables will be available for you to burn down a diorama of the U.S. economy while complaining about entitlement.
Really good.
Your team name is basically a brunch item, so maybe it sounds like this is very on brand. Y'all should do a Boomer Night where the price of admission and concessions are deferred to the patrons of the next three games. That's the best response I saw. Anyway, I don't know.
Goodness.
I think they were. It's. I think they were trying to have fun with it, and it certainly seemed to have.
They
backfired.
Also responded to people. I think like if you're offended, you can come down and
right.
file a complaint and get free tickets.
No millennial's right. going to bother to do that.
Hence their point. I think.
Why don't they just the millennials be the GM of the team for the night?
Yeah.
They just show up right up and immediately get a CEO.
You Let's haven't go. Heard it, but this is the role you probably think you can play.
Good stuff. All right, that's today's good news, bad news, no news.
I love you millennials out there.
I've started to come around to the I whole millennial to. Thing. Like, they've made enough arguments back about, like, the problems they've gone through and why they are the way they
are. Are all three of you millennials?
Yes.
Looking at? Kyle, Howdy, Lydia.
Awesome. Yeah, they changed the parameters, and now we are.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
They changed the mix.
We used to just call ourselves Gen Y, right. but then we were hit with this atrocious label.
You guys are
It's like finding out about Pluto, right? Now we just got, like, a new label over here.
You're older millennials, though, aren't you?
Yeah, we're the very, very front edge. Okay. We're the pioneer.
You really are. That's how I think of you. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Millennials, boomers, Gen Xers, we need all three of you guys to give us a call and a little open phone lines on a Friday. We've been doing this every Friday morning, usually at 9. The 8 o'clock crowd has been just okay at mm-hmm. open phone lines. The 9 o'clock crowd, I will say, has been significantly better. So keep your title here. 206-421-3776. Any sports argument you want to make, Mariners, Seahawks, Oakland A's, Houston Astros, drilling players. We've been talking about a lot of different things. Seahawks and emerging players and what they can do this year. Russell Wilson, Earl Thomas. There are a lot of big, important conversations to have, and you can choose which one you want to weigh in on. 206-421-3776. Tell us which generation you're in, and then give us a comment next here on Brock and Salk.